Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC, and to end today with something completely different, 10 minutes of calls for anyone who has recently used a dating app. How are dating apps working for you or not? Are dating apps in 2024 a good experience or a good way to meet people in your experience? 212-433-WNYC, 212-433-9692. Why do we ask this today? Well, the phrase platform decay, have you heard that phrase? Platform decay was recently coined to describe how tech platforms, all kinds of tech platforms, from social media sites to Amazon, have declined in quality as they've expanded. Now, a new op-ed in the New York Times by sexual culture critic Magdalene J. Taylor confirms that dating apps are also suffering the same fate. Most platforms, she writes, are making people pay for premium features, changing the overall experience. So have you seen the piece? It's titled, "It's Not You, Dating Apps Are Getting Worse." So we're opening up the phones to online daters. How are dating apps working for you or not? Are dating apps in 2024 a good experience or a good way to meet people in your experience? 212-433-WNYC, 212-433-9692. This is a short call in, so call in and pretty much you'll get right on. And if you use dating apps for a while now, to the point of the op-ed, how have the apps changed over time and how are those changes impacting your dating experience? But basically, are dating apps good these days? What do you find are the pros and cons of whatever apps you do use? 212-433-WNYC. 212-433-9692. Call us or text us. Taylor writes in the Times op-ed, many apps have pulled the people you would most like to match with into a separate category, such as Hinge's standout section, often only accessible to those who pay for premium features. And even if you do decide to sign up for them, many people find the idea of someone paying to match with them to be off-putting anyway, says the article. So if you paid for premium features, tell us why and if that worked out for you. But in general, the question is, are dating apps in 2024 a good experience or a good way to meet people in your experience? 212-433-WNYC. Call or text, and we'll take your calls and texts right after this. Brian Lehrer on WNYC. Now to your recent experiences with dating apps. Are they getting worse? As an op-ed in the New York Times argues, Erin in Manhattan, you're on WNYC. Hi, Erin.
Yes, hi. What an apropos thing to talk about. I'm on all of them. I won't do Hinge anymore because I feel like a commodity. So I stick with Bumble primarily. And I think for me, it's better to just be more careful with selecting and reading the profiles instead of just swiping more recklessly, so to speak, because then you can really filter out by yourself if you take more time to read carefully what you're looking for. There are telltale signs you can see in someone's profile, you know, that will tell if they're looking for a real relationship or not. And it will save yourself time instead of, doing Spotlight or all of these other things.
Good tip, Erin. Thanks for starting us off. Bella on the Upper East Side. You're on WNYC. Hi, Bella.
Hi. I also agree with Erin. The commodification of dating apps is absurd. There's no real connection anymore. I'm on Hinge. I was previously, like when I was younger, on Tinder and Bumble, and I feel as though people are just a picture and not, you can't really know the full story until you sit down with a person. And as a straight woman, dating in New York is not the easiest. And I find a lot of times I like either get ghosted or people are like dishonest, you know, with who they are. So it's not easy. And a lot of my friends have the same issues with, you know, getting ghosted or not having, you know, the same like natural connection that you would have in real life.
Did it used to be better?
I think so. I think it did. I think that with dating apps, there's a certain expectation, even though certain people say that they're looking for either something serious or something, you know, potentially serious. It usually ends up being more casual or a one-off.
Bella, thank you. Good luck out there. Gabriel in McIntosh County, Georgia. Gabriel, you're on WNYC. Hi.
Hey, Brian. Thanks so much. And good morning. I don't think dating apps are getting worse because they've never been good.
That's one way to look at it. Are you using dating apps? Do you have a story?
Yes. So, I never relied on dating apps. Certainly not in New York, when I lived in New York, only because it seemed like, I guess, maybe antithetical to the kind of social, the social rituals of living in a creative city like that. I mean, it just seemed like an odd concept to connect with people through digital technology. But the design of a dating app, it seems to be more of like a hot or not concept rather than a platform for human connection. You know?
Yes. Although I will say that I personally know two New York couples who met on dating apps and got married. One of them just this year and one a few years ago. So it works for some people. But Tiffany in Brooklyn, you're on WNYC. Hi, Tiffany.
Hi, Brian. Can you hear me?
I can hear you.
So, you just mentioned having friends that have gotten married. So I was married myself and got divorced by the time I was 30. And then I went on the dating apps and had, you know, fun, like people do, because you get to meet a lot of people.
Right.
And but then when I changed and I started wanting something different, I started wanting something serious again, I brought that to the apps. And I think that's the thing that is missing in the conversation about the apps is like we think that somehow the apps are going to do everything for us. But when I decided I want something serious, I started articulating that to the people I was meeting. The people I was meeting on OkCupid weren't working for me. A girlfriend said, why don't you try Bumble? Women have a little bit more control over what's going on. And the second date I went on was this incredible human who became my husband.
Aww.
And we went through the pandemic together. 3 years after we met, we had our son. And then I just gave birth to our twins a month ago.
Yay. So it can
work. I think I've had a super success story. I will say.
Yes.
Go ahead.
Oh, I was just going to say, it sounds like you communicated very clearly when you were interested in a serious relationship as opposed to fun.
Yeah. I mean, I think the apps, I don't know why we talk about the apps like they're that much different than meeting people, quote, the old-fashioned way. If I meet someone the old-fashioned way and I just want to go home with them, that's all I'm going to do. If I meet someone the old-fashioned way and I'm trying to establish something more serious, at some point I'm going to articulate that early on. And I'm going to be more vulnerable early on because I want to see how that person can handle it. But we can't just go on dating apps and think that we don't have to do all the regular stuff anyway. You know what I mean?
I do know what you mean. You got to be a person and put in the work. Tiffany, thank you very much. Well, I guess that's where we're going to leave it. Some interesting stories of failure, frustration, judgment, and success on dating apps in 2024 and in recent years that led up to some very good relationships, including marriage. So that's the Brian Lehrer Show for today. Produced by Mary Croak, Lisa Allison, Amina Cerna, Carl Boisrond, and Esperanza Rosenbaum. Zach Goddard-Cohen edits our National Politics podcast. Our intern this term is Ethelyn Daniel Schurz. Megan Ryan is the head of live radio. We had Juliana Fonda at the audio controls. I'm Brian Lehrer. Stay tuned for all of it.